Paying final respects to Pope Francis. St. Peter's Basilica has opened to the public after the pontiff's casket was transferred from his residence this morning. John McKay planned his trip from the UK before the Pope died Sunday.
We were meant to have an audience with him today, and we will do, but not in the way that we expected.
Pope died Monday. Markets are poised for a big open amid new optimism. The U.S. and China might be able to reach a trade deal. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
I think that the sentiment that they're trying to convey is that deals are coming. And, of course, we saw the markets react very positively.
Dow futures up 690. Secretary Kennedy says the health department's moving to phase out all petroleum-based food dyes. CBS's Dr. John LaPook.
Bright colors, attraction versus safe.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you want to see these studies done.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin State Senate has passed a bill that would expand Medicaid coverage for postpartum moms. Savannah Tolmay Olson explains why this bill, with broad bipartisan support, still may not become law.
The bill would give women who gave birth an entire year of coverage under Medicaid. Currently, they get it for 60 days. Moms get this year-long coverage in almost every state in the nation. The only exceptions are Arkansas and Wisconsin. And advocates say it saves lives. From 2019 to 2021, Wisconsin had a 30% increase in deaths among pregnant and postpartum women. Democrat Melissa Ratcliffe on the Senate floor.
63 moms died with pregnancy-related issues from 2020 to 2022. One-third of those deaths occurred more than 60 days postpartum. So 21 moms died because they didn't have access to the care that they needed.
Of the 63 women who died, 76% of them were on Medicaid at the time their babies were born. That's according to the DHS legislative director. This bill has broad bipartisan support in both the Senate and the Assembly. The Senate passed it almost unanimously yesterday, and they did the same thing in the last session. But here's the thing. A bill can't pass if it's not called for a vote, and it can't be called for a vote unless the Speaker says so. Speaker Robin Voss had previously said he doesn't support the measure because the state gives out too much free stuff. Here's what he had to say about it yesterday.
My position's been fairly clear from the very beginning. I've never supported an expansion of welfare. I can't imagine that I would ever support one. But we have to talk about it as a caucus and see where everybody else is.
The expansion would cost $18.5 million. Wisconsin currently has a surplus of more than $4.5 billion. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
A big night for Brewer batters. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Bryce Terang had four hits. Jake Bowers, a two-run homer. Christian Yelich, a grand slam that sailed 407 feet. The Brewers beat the Giants 11-3 in San Francisco. Jose Quintana allowing just one run over six innings. He's now 3-0. Is he the best pitcher the Brewers have right now? Pat Murphy.
He is. I mean, he's only, how many starts has he made for us?
Three.
I feel like he's made 30 for us because it's just like he gives you that understanding of like, I know how to pitch. I know how to get out of this thing. I know how to navigate through a lineup.
NBA, the Bucks losing again to the Pacers, 123-115. The series moves to Milwaukee Friday with Indy up 2-0. NFL draft in Green Bay. Players and families arriving for tomorrow night's first round.
It is pretty amazing just kind of seeing all this kind of come together. What a cool thing for the Packers and city of Green Bay, and really neat to see it all come together.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We'll see a little sunshine this morning with scattered afternoon showers or even a thunder shower possible. Our high today in the upper 60s. Tonight, scattered showers with a low in the low to mid 40s. Tomorrow, more scattered rain with a high in the low 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time at our new time slot, 2 until 4, and Matt Solomon from Cracked.com talking about SNL at 50. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Good morning. It is 8:06, and it's nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday morning, April 23rd, 2025, as we grow the show from what had been Up North News Radio to now a three-hour program with some local cut-ins from around the Civic Media Radio Network. More guests, including William Garcia, who's coming up in just a few moments. He is one of the candidates running for chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. We will ask why. He's the current chair of the 3rd Congressional District Democratic Party and also is a vice chair in La Crosse County for the Democratic Party. So we'll certainly talk about issues all across greater Wisconsin when it comes to the Democratic Party having organization and outreach and what he would bring to the post if elected chair. Then at 8:30, we will have Melissa Baldoff. Listeners to Up North News Radio know that we typically heard from her on Wednesday mornings at 6:30. We're going to bump that over to 8:30 now on Wednesday mornings. We'll talk a little bit of climate, as we always do, but we'll also get into other political headlines as well, given her work as a political strategist, along with her hubs, Joe Zepecki, who will be with us tomorrow. He, too, is a candidate for a Democratic Party chair, and we are still working to set up something with Devin Remicker, who is the third announced candidate to this point. But for now, we just wanted to make sure we got to, you know, this third hour and got going. I mean, it's the third hour. If it's anything like the Today Show, I feel like Al Roker should be walking in here any minute here, Brittany Merlot. I have, and Sam's in Madison now. Sam runs the board during our third hour here so that Greg Bach can get ready for Matt and Air on Air, which follows next at 9 o'clock. So, Brittany, Sam, welcome to our new 806 gig over here.
We're glad excited to be here.
I know. We're looking forward to it. And so the big challenge, Brittany, for this hour is that I get 2 cups of coffee a day, and now I've got to make 2 cups of coffee stretch out over 3 hours. Instead of three, instead of two. So far, so good. Okay. I think I'm at the proper caffeination level. We'll see. But sometimes I do get a little worked up. But what do you got there?
I've got some iced coffee. I'm almost out. I'm feeling you. We're almost at the end, right?
Yeah. See, I play barista every morning. I make sure that before Sherry leaves, she's had her 1 cup of coffee with breakfast. And then there's a tumbler of hot coffee. And then there's a tumbler of iced coffee for the drive up to Rice Lake. And so I'm glad to see somebody else is a nice coffee drinker this early in the morning, which has been a little weird when the temperatures have still been in the 20s and 30s. But we are finally coming up. Spring is finally sprung here, Brittany.
Finally. Yes, I know, right? 34 degrees right now into Solon Springs. So flirting with that freezing mark far up north. Meanwhile, down south along the state line, 57 degrees right now into Monroe. So a huge difference across the state, but we are all warming up today. We've got this warm front lifting through, and that, of course, is going to be sparking up some scattered showers, maybe some thunderstorms this afternoon. None are expected to be severe, but of course, rain is in the forecast, especially as we go through the next 48 hours. So spots of sunshine are still out there today, but we are going to be stuck under more clouds than sun. Of course, scattered showers are going on in southwestern parts of the state this morning. They're going to be working their way towards Madison shortly and in towards Milwaukee as well. Well, up north, some spotty sprinkles this afternoon. And of course, like I said, some showers and storms, mainly between 2 to 5 today, are possible. But those high temperatures, they're sweet. Into the mid to upper 60s up north to low 70s down south. So we're finally feeling those nice conditions. We're going to hang on to the warmth tomorrow, too. It'll be partly sunny with rain really ramping up into that late evening and into early Friday. Of course, the timing couldn't be any worse with the NFL draft going on tomorrow and Friday. But of course, we are drying things out by Friday afternoon into our weekend, and we're moderating those temperatures too as we move into Sunday. So yes, we will be cooler on Friday with highs in the mid to upper 50s for a lot of us. But by Saturday and Sunday, we're into those low to mid 60s with some 70s again, once again, south.
And you know, the nice thing about getting two visits with you now in the mornings is that on those mornings where things are a little crazy after 7 o'clock and I completely whiff on Rob in Tigerton, I've got a chance for redemption here. So Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Now, an hour ago, it was partly cloudy and 36. He said, I got Molly my car fixed yesterday with a grease and an oil change. My brakes fixed. So my mechanic, Todd, did an awesome job on that. Monday, May 5th, he's got a colonoscopy scheduled at ThetaCare in Shawano. Looking forward to that, he says. I don't know if that was sarcasm or not. And he says, I'm listening to you on my new iPad, and it sounds very awesome. And Melissa Kay was with the show earlier, and he said, the last time I saw Brittany and Melissa in person, I bought them a drink in Appleton on election night, which I know that you recall.
Yes, I do. It was wonderful to meet you, Rob. I love being able to meet the people, you know, that mean so much and really care about the weather, too. He's always on it. Rob is on it every day.
He is. He also says he has his diet sun drop. Of course, you have to have that in the Tigerton area. Mm-hmm. And he notes, and I just caught this out of the corner of my eye, too, saying, passing along the passing of Mike Patrick, who was the play-by-play announcer for ESPN Sunday Night Football from 1987 to 2005 and did some college basketball as well. So Rob from Tigerton not only brings us, you know, his own personal news, but passes along some other headlines along the day as well. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. It is 8:12 right now, and we, before we get to William Garcia, just want to let you know that the Brewers were winners over the San Francisco Giants late last night, and it was a big margin thanks to a grand slam by Christian Yelich, a two-run homer by Jake Bowers. The Brewers beat the Giants 11-3. You can hear Game 3 of that series coming up. Coverage begins at 8:10 on several Civic media stations, including Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, a couple of cities up north. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. The Bucks are down 0-2 in their playoff series, losing to Indiana last night 123-115. William Garcia is chair of the 3rd Congressional District Democratic Party and is a candidate for chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, with Ben Wickler stepping down. Convention delegates from around the party will gather in Wisconsin Dells in mid-June to choose their next party chair. William Garcia, good morning. Thank you for being here. Are you with us, William?
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yep. No, nice to have you here. I think we have a slight delay in my apologies.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you just fine. We have a little delay there, but let me put it out rather generically here and say, William, first off, make a pitch. Why'd you decide to run, and what do you think you would bring to the position of Democratic state chair?
I'm running because there is a disconnect between the state party and local county parties that must be fixed for the long-term health of the party. Basically, we're getting a lot of information and directives in a really top-down approach from the state party. That means the state party tells us exactly how to organize. They do all of our messaging. They basically tell us what to do. But they're not listening all the time to local people on the ground who know better how to talk to people in their community and how to organize in their community. Some examples. As chair of the third city, I'm in charge of a lot of rural areas. We have rural areas where you know, when we tell organizers to go door knock, it takes them an hour to knock four doors. And we have local people on the ground saying this is not an effective way of communicating and connecting with voters. There are better ways. So I am running in order to realign the state party to listen to county parties about how to do messaging and how to do organizing in their area. So I've essentially have a three-word platform: grow, persist, resist. Grow means I want to grow the county parties by giving them resources, tools, and infrastructure in order to talk to voters in their area in a way that will connect with voters and bring people into the party year round. Persist means I want to keep doing the great things that DPW already does. Things like fundraising. Wisconsin Democratic Party is a fundraising juggernaut, and I want to continue that progress. We desperately need those funds. I also want to persist in keeping the media focus on Wisconsin. Ben Wickler was incredible about going around the country and talking about what's happening in Wisconsin and why it's important. I also think DPW does a really great job of working with our candidates in the Assembly and the Senate, the State Senate, and I want to continue that close relationship. And finally, resist. I have to say, I've been disappointed with some of the national Democrats leaders who have been very timid in the face of Trump. I intend to be the strongest, loudest voice in Wisconsin against the Trump agenda and Republican policies that are hurting Wisconsin families. And that's basically my pitch.
It's a very healthy pitch, one from William Garcia, who chairs the 3rd Congressional District Democrats and is running for state party chair. And Tony puts up on YouTube, I love the idea of year-round organizing. It's something that I have been talking about for nearly 20 years here. And I know other people are having discussions, even as we speak, coming out of this last cycle, about year-round organizing, not just parachuting in at campaign time. And you, as somebody outstate, clearly have some thoughts on the need to do that all throughout Wisconsin.
So when we talk about year-round organizing, the first thing we have to do is redefine what organizing is. Right now, with the Democratic Party, organizing is essentially two things: the numbers of doors knocked and the numbers of phones called. And that is basically how we are defining organizing. Now, that definition of organizing does not work in a year-round context. Because why on earth would I call someone right now and tell them to, you know, vote for, you know, so-and-so in 2026? The person is just going to be befuddled and slightly annoyed to be getting that phone call. What year-round organizing should mean is bringing people into the county parties. That's what real year-round organizing is giving strength and power and true agency to local parties so that they can work in their community year-round. Community service, community activism, working with our local politicians to get things done. And then by increasing the engagement at the local level, we increase our volunteer base, we increase our enthusiasm about the Democratic Party at the local level, and then when it does come time to knock on doors and make phone calls, we're not parachuting in. We are established in the community already. We're talking to people that we've talked to before, and that's how true year-round organizing is going to function.
And that's exactly what's being talked about by folks throughout Wisconsin, William Garcia among them, a candidate for Wisconsin Democratic Party chair, who we are talking to this morning. Before we go to a break, a reminder that tomorrow on the program, we will have Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski around 7:30. Her name has been bandied about for something that might be voted on at the state party convention as well. We'll ask her if she has any future plans that she would like to tell us more about. As mentioned already, Joe Zepecki will be here tomorrow. We'll have a discussion about Robert Kennedy Jr.'s rants about autism. We will have a guest who has some very strong feelings on the subject. And we actually heard some strong feelings last week from Emily Berge, a candidate for Congress, about Robert Kennedy Jr.'s remarks. And Chad Holmes will be along tomorrow as well in the program. And a reminder for folks who'd been listening in this hour to Chad Holmes or to Earl Ingram, that Chad and Earl will continue to be integral parts of the mornings here on Civic Media and throughout the day, having the ability to work on some special projects along the way that don't just require a day-to-day show. So we're very glad about that. And again, still ahead this hour, Melissa Baldoff will talk about climate and James Kelly about news that he covers for Civic Media in the Chippewa Valley. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. A parade of well-known brands and CEOs lavished a post-election tribute of $239 million to the Trump-Vance Inaugural Committee, according to a new filing with the Federal Election Commission. What was it used for? Voters will likely never know. Let's start with the $5 million donation by Pilgrim's Pride, one of the world's largest meat processors and a subsidiary of a Brazilian company. Cryptocurrency Ripple gave almost $4.9 million, followed by billionaire investment banker Warren Stevens. Stevens' contribution to the inaugural and another $4 million to two Trump super PACs likely earned him the nomination to be ambassador to the UK. In the latest FEC report, 61 donors gave $1 million or more. Manufacturers included Toyota, Tyson, Boeing, and NVIDIA. Unsurprisingly, fossil fuel companies like Occidental, ExxonMobil, and Chevron were on the list, as were pharmaceutical companies Merck, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and trade association Pharma. McDonald's, Target, Verizon, Comcast, and Amazon each gave $1 million as well. What do donors get for their money? Apple CEO Tim Cook, who donated $1 million, got a tariff exemption for Apple's Chinese-made products. And where does that money go? Federal law does not require disclosure of expenses for inaugural committees. See the list of donors at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Right now, we always look forward to these interviews. We got Promise Bakken in with us, Marketing and Communications Director with our Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Promise, always good to have you in. Good to
Thank
see you.
Thank you. Good morning.
And we'll be talking with Emily in a little bit. Emily is with the ACE Leadership Program. She's a participant over there. Emily, we'll be putting you to work. I mean, talking with you in just a little bit. Thanks for being here, Emily.
Thank you for having me.
Promise, I want to kick things off with you and some of the great events going on over at the Chamber. If you don't mind, if we could rewind just a day, I was really curious how things went with our friends over at El Cafe. We love El Cafe. They're our birthday and anniversary sponsor. We work really closely with them.
Yeah.
How did the networking at night go last night?
Yeah, the networking at night last night over at El Cafe in Port Edwards was really good. We saw a lot of new faces there. I was really excited about that. I think there was at least three new businesses that are not currently members that showed up to that networking and night event. And then there was a lot of new faces where I was trying to get some of our members like come and network with us at networking at night. And they showed up too. So I was pretty excited about that. Their food was great. They had like chips and like four different types of dip and cheese curds and some chicken wings. They had a whole bunch of food there. It was really great.
The only trick with doing the networking at El Cafe is anybody going to talk? Their mouths are going to be so full of food and everything. That's great to hear. Really good to hear. And shout out to El Cafe and you guys doing that. Because the networking night is networking with the chamber is such a popular event. It's a fun one. I know people look forward to it. And I know we were talking a little bit about over here maybe possibly sometime. So we'll work on that. Because boy, you guys are booked when it comes to those.
For the remainder of 2025, and we're working on our 2026 list for member businesses that will be wanting to host it. So if there is anybody out there that's interested in hosting that, please do reach out because we are starting to fill 2026.
So. There's somebody right here. I gotta reach out. So let's talk about something on the way, and that is Networking Exchange for Safety Professionals. This is an informative one and a great one happening over in Mid-State.
Yeah, so our Network Exchange for Safety Professionals is tailored to those smaller businesses that don't really have a safety department. So we kind of get all the safety department heads from, you know, other businesses in the area and sit them down at a round table and have open conversations about different topics. Sometimes we bring in a speaker. This time we're going to be bringing in Andy DeWitt from, he's the head of security from Mid-State. He's great. He's going to cover critical incidents and active shooters and the best policies and practices that you can utilize in a scenario like that. And I think that's a really great information for even some of our smaller businesses in the area where they might not have had any kind of formal training or any kind of information at all whatsoever covering those types of topics. This is a free event for our chamber members. It's happening on April 30th from 11 a.m. to 12:30, again, over at Mid-State Technical College in Wisconsin Rapids. Registration does close on April 23rd, and we will provide a light snack for those that, you know, and get the hangries during that lunch hour. So
it's always a smart idea. It's very, very well thought out by you guys. Andy is really, really good at this. Not only with certainly the profession and the security end of things, but he's a good talker and really good explaining this stuff and sharing that information and the knowledge that he has. Like in opportunities like this is such a key thing for not just him but people in that industry and talking security. And I love that we are in a day and age now where so much of this information, it's not about, hey, pay me this and I'll give you this information. It's take the information. Please let me help. I want to do some good. I want to, you know, get this to everybody. Local businesses that can't necessarily afford to hire an Andy to come in and look over the shop and you know, help them with these kind of things. This can be so key for them. And this is another one of those things in life where, hey, hopefully you never have to break the glass. You just know it's there. Yeah. And they have that peace of mind and that comfort for you and your employees and your customers that you know that. It's a really good idea to have that. That's a really good presentation. What are the dates and times for that again?
It'll happen on April 30th over at Mid-State Technical College from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And registration for this one closes April 23rd.
Yeah, you want to get in on that right away.
That's tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah. It took me a second, too. Time is a flat circle. Yeah. It's all meshed together right now. Yes, be sure to go to heartofwisconsinchamber.com or WisconsinRapidsChamber.com to register right now. Networking Exchange for HR Professionals is the next one I wanted to talk about with you, promise.
This one's very similar to the safety professionals.
They're all tongue twisters. Yeah. They're all tongue twisters
this
today.
This one's the same as the safety professionals one. It's kind of, again, a round table of, you know, if you're a business owner and you don't have an HR department or an HR director and you want to make sure that you're getting the right information from people in the area, you know, what are the laws that we need to comply to? What are some of the issues that you guys are seeing in the area? This is really helpful during COVID with a lot of people wondering, you know, how to address that. This one is happening on May 14th over at Express Recycling Solutions from 11:30 to 1 p.m. And there will be a light lunch at that one as well.
Yes, nice.
We're going to have Attorney Dietrich covering the recent HR law changes and anticipated policy changes under the Trump administration and what that's going to look like as we move more into those changes in our area. This is free for members. Registration does close for this one on May 7th as well. And this, again, this is a really great one for like those small businesses out there that are not familiar or don't stay updated with all these different changes that he's implementing.
Yeah. So. And to be fair, these changes, I mean, could be happening right now as we're speaking. They happen so often, so frequent and infrequently. Mm-hmm. So it's understandable if a business out there, especially smaller mom and pop businesses, don't have all the key information on this. But, you know, this is one where I talked to and I've seen this happen where it's so hard to get a business up and running and then to make it successful. And then it falls apart or it closes shop because of an HR issue.
Right.
And that's a wide variety of things that could be. Mm-hmm. But imagine working so hard to get to this point and then it's all gone because of one thing that you could have helped.
Right.
And having an HR department or just at least having an update on what these rules and these regulations are and understanding that. There is no downside to that. There's no negative to that or anything. You have that information. It just makes your employees that much safer, more comfortable, which makes them better workers and makes you more money, et cetera, et cetera. This is a wonderful domino effect with literally no side effects to it. Now, I do think that it takes some time and some, you know, energy to put into and understand these things, but that's all right. You know, time is money. If you want to look at it that way, if you're a business and everything and you're investing in your employees, you're investing in your company by doing this. And it's one of these things, too, where I've seen this more in the restaurant industry than any others. But the person that, you know, I try to save a buck or two here or there, or I try to save an hour or two here or there, and then you lose your business.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. If you own property on the Tri-Lakes, you can get free barley straw to help reduce algae bloom. The Tri-Lakes Management District includes Lake Arrowhead, Camelot, and Sherwood. Bags of barley straw are available for pickup outside the front of the Tri-Lakes building on Apache Avenue now through May or until the bags run out. The bags are to be secured under your piers, partially submerged in the water and allowed to decompose. Takes approximately 6 to 8 weeks for the decomposing straw to produce the natural chemical which inhibits algal growth. Mid to late April is the best time to use this method. Property owners can pick up 2 bags per pier. Bags should be removed after Labor Day, and you can use any remaining straw for fertilizer or ground cover if you wish. The Republican Party of Wisconsin introduced a new process for replacing local party officials last week. Joanne Krulatz reports.
The new rules were approved by the state Republican Party's executive committee in an attempt to cut down on what they call egregious behavior and infighting between state party leadership and local officials and organizers. The new code of conduct requires local, regional, and state party members to treat other party officials with respect, support candidates endorsed by the party, and prohibits harassment of other party members.
The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction said it has not received a response from the Department of Education after refusing to sign a request certifying that it is in compliance with the Trump administration's policies on diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. The agency had previously announced it would not be signing the certification request, arguing that the request lacked clarity and threatened local control of the state's public school system. If the DPI does not comply with the policies, Wisconsin's public schools could lose crucial federal funding. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. I identify with that film in which there is an implicit reference to St. Francis. Those are the words of Pope Francis, who passed away last Monday at the age of 88. The Pope is referring to the film La Strada by Federico Fellini, which was his favorite. As it turns out, he was quite the cinema buff. The Pope said in an interview about 10 years ago he was always a fan of movies dating back to his childhood in South America, adding that he owes his love for the big screen to his parents for taking him to the theater at an early age. Pope Francis said he identified with the teachings of St. St. Francis of Assisi due to the themes of love and suffering. Probably no surprise, that was the inspiration for his chosen papal name. Video game adaptations are alive and well, and it seems they will be with us for a long time, or until they run out of video games to adapt. Universal Studios is jumping into said world and teaming up with director Michael Bay and producer Sydney Sweeney to bring Outrun to the big screen. There is no cast attached yet, as the project is in the early stages of development. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We'll see a little sunshine this morning with scattered afternoon showers or even a thunder shower possible. Our high today in the upper 60s. Tonight, scattered showers with a low in the low to mid 40s. Tomorrow, more scattered rain with a high in the low 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high-quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse, too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to preventchildabuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And wow. He said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
It's the first official Drive Time Maggie Dawn show. We kick off the program with Congresswoman Gwen Moore. And stick around, we'll be joined by the CEO of the Milwaukee Brewers.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Tomorrow on the program, we'll have Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, who may be making some kind of an announcement ahead of the state Democratic convention. We'll be talking to Joe Zepecki, as usual on Thursdays, who's also running for state Democratic Party chair. And we will have Chad Holmes here as well. As mentioned with the restructuring of the Civic Media lineup, that will mean that folks like Chad Holmes will be dropping into this show, not just during local breaks throughout the show, but also on the main body of the network show. And having listened to Chad's show yesterday, I am quite confident that one of our topics tomorrow will be about Wausau Mayor Doug Dinney, who you will recall took it upon himself to remove a drop box for absentee ballots last year, something that should not be done, may even have been a criminal act. But the wheels of justice are grinding rather slowly, not just from a legal standpoint, but from the standpoint of the ethics board up in Wausau. Those members' terms are about to expire, I should say. But they can stay on the ethics board until the city council nominates and confirms their replacements. And yet Doug Dinney took it upon himself recently to announce new appointments to the ethics board. Now, there's little to no chance that the city council is going to take those up and pass them, but that the mayor would even make those appointments of Republican stalwarts while he's awaiting the ethics board to review his actions, removing the absentee ballot drop box, isn't sitting well with some folks. Chad Holmes among them, and we will talk about that tomorrow here on the program. But we are joined now by Melissa Baldoff, who you'll now hear instead of at the really early hour at 6:30, for her and others, at a more humane 8:30. Melissa, it's great to see you here.
It is great to be here. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. Now, by and large, we talk about climate issues on Thursdays in our weekly Climate Check feature. It's a, you know, an area of focus for you professionally, but you have a very well-rounded career as a political strategist, as a staff member. You worked in Governor Evers' office for a time as well. So we get to expand the conversation a little bit more. So when we do turn to climate, We're going to talk about green schools in Wisconsin and a new way to recognize them, thanks to cuts from the Trump administration. But before we get to that and any other climate issues, I want to come back to your work with Governor Evers and the fact that he put out some guidance about what should happen in the workplace if there is some kind of a, you know, an immigration raid from ICE, so that people know what their rights are. And that is getting some angry pushback from Republicans who say that the governor is trying to somehow circumvent, you know, ICE and law and order. And I have to say, from what I know of the memo's comments and from what you know of the governor, he doesn't really strike me as somebody that's giving, shall we say, extra legal advice.
I would just say this, that you know, we're in this situation where, you know, Republicans are not looking to follow the law. They seem to have decided that innocent until proven guilty doesn't matter, doesn't mean a thing anymore. They are, you know, just completely ignoring the Constitution, left and right, especially when it comes to immigration. You know, we're seeing the just devastating effects of that, you know, examples all the time here. So it makes all the sense in the world that anybody who is, you know, leading a large workforce, is the executive of a large workforce like Governor Evers is. We have a large and, you know, wonderful workforce of state employees. And, you know, any responsible employer is going to want to make sure that their employees are safe and feel secure at work so they can do their jobs and have the guidance that they need to exercise their rights. And, you know, whether the Trump administration wants to accept it or not, people do have rights. And we have seen that ICE agents, you know, operating under the Trump administration policies, you know, are not always, you know, operating in ways that are, you know, conducive to people exercising their rights, and they want people to be confused. They want people to be scared. And it is incredibly important that everybody knows what their rights are and how to exercise those rights safely and responsibly. So, you know, it's unfortunately not a surprise that Republicans are mad. I mean, if Republicans in Wisconsin are mad about something with, you know, the governor has done all the time, they will never not be mad about something.
And it is fairly standard advice. It's a 5-point memo. It tells state employees to remain calm, immediately notify their supervisor, ask the agents to identify themselves, present documentation of why they are there. They are not to answer questions from the agents, and they are not to give them permission to enter non-public areas and not give them access to paper files or computer systems without first talking to an attorney, because as the memo points out, every Wisconsin state employee has a responsibility to protect confidential data and information. This is all pretty standard stuff in lines of, you know, workplace safety, due process, equal rights. And so, again, if you're hearing a lot of criticism of this, that Governor Evers is standing with the Venezuelan drug cartels or something like that, now you know a little bit more about the actual legal advice that is in there. It doesn't strike me, Melissa, that the governor is working in cahoots with Venezuelan drug gangs, near as I can tell.
That's the best I can tell as well. It certainly was not, when I worked for the governor, I wasn't aware of any strong alliances, with any cartels, no. But I was very aware of a commitment to doing what's best for the people of our state, and I think that's what we're seeing here.
That's exactly it. Turning to a climate matter, and again, making our public buildings greener and cleaner. There was a press release from the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction yesterday, and I really want to salute whoever was the writer on this, because there was no need to mince words coming from the Wisconsin DPI, taking a shot at the Trump administration right off the top, saying, following the elimination of the U.S. Department of Education Green Ribbon Schools program, Wisconsin has launched its own initiative through Green and Healthy Schools Wisconsin to spotlight schools that are leading the way in environmental stewardship. And the Environmental Stewardship and Sustainability Award is first going to West De Pere High School and Mahone Middle School in Kenosha, all about reducing environmental impact and cost, support student and staff wellness, and advance environmental literacy through their school communities. Melissa, this is something that we've talked about consistently, is that in this age of Trump cutbacks, we could sit here and wring our hands. There could be a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth. But what we've done instead is say, well, the work has to be done locally at the state level, the local level, that it's not all woe is me. We can all still show leadership in our own various circles.
And I think that we saw, you know, we saw that happen during the first Trump administration, and we're seeing that happen again now. And you know, that's you know, not that there are many bright spots here in this second term, but you know, one of the silver linings is that we had a lot of you know, subnational organizations, whether that's local government, state government, nonprofits, community organizations, really learn a lot in that first term. You know, what can they do at a more local level, and how can they continue to advance climate friendly policies that are smart and going to make a difference and move the needle. And, you know, it's not like that work stopped under the Biden administration. It just had a lot of support from the federal government back then, which was wonderful. But now they we're seeing that a lot of these organizations are very well equipped to continue making progress and move this work forward. So it's really wonderful to see it happening. And it's especially great to see it happening in our schools. And you know that it's a way that schools are, you know, able to save money and have cleaner, healthier classroom environments for kids to learn in and, you know, educators and staff to work in. And it's something I think that's great too. Also in the release that you were just talking about, they discussed a little bit more about Environmental Education Week in Wisconsin, which Superintendent Underley had announced. So I think that's really a great component of this too, is that we know that the kids are learning about the environment. They are much more aware of, you know, kind of how everything comes together and, you know, how they can make their natural spaces cleaner and healthier, how we can move forward into, you know, a clean energy economy. And I think it's really wonderful to know that, you know, this is a priority for our kids too, in this state still. You know, they're still learning about science and climate and doing it in a way that is going to be interesting and exciting to them.
And one of the other things related to this with energy and delivering, you know, electricity to places is a topic that we'll cover in a future discussion here, because we've run out of time today for it. But there is a bill about building new power transmission lines in Wisconsin. And it's one of those unusual bills, Melissa, where it doesn't cut neatly between parties, that there are folks who support this particular bill about who gets first dibs at building new transition lines in the state versus whether it should be much more of a, you know, a national process. And so I'm just going to speak very generally in the minute we have left here, because we'll get into the specifics later. But it's almost refreshing sometimes when a bill comes up and it's not very cleanly Democratic or Republican, that you can actually talk about the merits of a bill and whether it passes or not. And I would imagine we'll get into that in a discussion real soon.
Yeah, I mean, who knew that legislatures could still do that? It's wonderful to see a robust debate on a piece of legislation. But I hope to see it come together in a way that is, you know, actually protecting our residents and, you know, keeping rates low and not just making this a, you know, giveaway to wealthy big corporations.
And that's the main thing here that we are watching here is, you know, how much of this is just about what companies build power lines versus who's looking out for the consumers, who's looking out for the environment as well as part of this process. Melissa Baldoff, this is going to be fun. Thanks for being along for the first edition. Have a great day. We'll talk again real soon.
Sounds good.
All right. And we will continue here on the mornings with Pat Kreitlow on this Wednesday morning. It is April 23rd. Tomorrow, Joe Zepecki, Chad Holmes, and Sarah Godlewski. Remember, you can follow my team at Up North News all day long through our newsletters, through social media, through our website, upnorthnewswi.com. And of course, right here, mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow reminding you to never let this nation fall short of its full promise, liberty and justice for all.
Work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Heavy rain and rising groundwater can turn your basement into a disaster zone overnight. A failing sump pump means water damage and expensive repairs. Don't wait. Tri-City Services installs and services high-quality sump pumps to keep your home dry. Don't risk thousands in water damage. Call Tri-City Services at 715-423-5840.
Hello, doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over three decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
Given the concerns about tariffs, inflation, and the economy, we may see some instability in the financial markets. As an investor, how can you cope? Your best strategy can be summed up in one word: diversification. It can't guarantee profits or prevent all losses, but it can help you manage risk and market fluctuations. Here's why. Different types of financial assets can move in different directions at any given time, so stocks may be up while bonds are down, or vice versa. If you owned both of these types of assets, and others besides, your portfolio would likely fare better than if you only owned one type of asset and that asset was affected by a market downturn. How you diversify your portfolio will depend on your own risk tolerance, time horizon, and financial goals. But however you do it, diversification should always be a driving force behind your investment strategy.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Edward Jones financial advisor in Wisconsin Rapids. Contact him at 715-421-0958.
Your Republican Senator Patrick Teston wants to unconstitutionally raise your utility bills after President Trump promised Wisconsin ratepayers he would cut energy bills in half. Trump's DOJ has already weighed in on ROFR legislation in other states and called out the significant harm it would cause consumers if passed. Call Senator Patrick Teston at 608-266-3123 and tell him to stand with President Trump and the Constitution by voting no on ROFR. Paid for by the Electricity Transmission Competition Coalition.
Better begins with human kindness. It's in a smile, a listening ear, a helping hand. At Aspirus Health, better begins with knowing you and your family, learning your health journey and your health needs. Aspirus caregivers are here to listen and provide the personalized care you deserve. For when you need to be better, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And we greatly appreciate our friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. We have them with us right now. Trisha is with us. I said it wrong, didn't I?
No, I did it right.
Yes, okay, yeah.
Yes.
I'm so bad with names. Trisha is with us. She's the Child and Youth Service Coordinator with the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. And Trisha, as I always mentioned before we get into this with our audience and with you, I am a board member at the Family mm-hmm. Center. I feel very strongly on this topic, and the audience is very aware of that. I want to get into a couple of things with you, but I think a great place to start is, of course, the current month we're in. And this month is Child Abuse Prevention Month.
It is.
And that is your wheelhouse. That is something you're very in tune with.
Yes. Yeah.
When it comes to approaching this month, what are some of the bigger things that you want to try to accomplish?
So, I mean, in Child Abuse Prevention Month, really it is to build awareness of that. I don't know if you, I haven't really seen a lot around in the city of Wisconsin Rapids, but blue pinwheels, those are a marker for Child Abuse Prevention Month, so you will see those places, communities, when they're supporting that and building awareness. And so part of the ways that you can spread awareness is by educating yourself. Really, you can just get information, whether that's online, you can get information from us. Just putting that, you know, in a Google search, you can find tons of different things about educating yourself, finding what there are for resources for you to be able to not only educate yourself, but others who might be, you know, in your family or community or friends that might need that help. Wearing blue on Fridays. Fridays is you wear blue. That's another awareness for child abuse prevention. And then just being able to talk about it. So like being here and being able to talk about it with you, that's a huge thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we're talking about topics with the Family Center, we're talking about domestic violence or some of these. There's a lot of things that we've hit on a number of times mm-hmm. over the years, especially when it comes to adults or even teenagers mm-hmm. With abuse and how difficult that can be for a survivor to come forward or to talk about these things, mm-hmm. whether it's for the first time or the 20th time. It can be quite difficult. Mm-hmm. Now, I want people to think about what it was like when they were a kid and they broke something and how difficult it was to go talk mm-hmm. to your parents or something. Now, not that a child did anything wrong, certainly.
Right.
But as a child, you are automatically you automatically blame yourself for
yes.
a lot of things and take things personal and think that it's your fault.
Yes.
And as I've mentioned to the audience before, I know a little bit of what I'm talking about mm-hmm. with this one. As a child who was abused, I had a babysitter that took advantage of me. Mm-hmm. And I can remember getting a little bit of flashback here, but I can remember actually telling my mom and dad what happened. Mm-hmm. And I was in the backseat of my dad's Monte Carlo. We were driving. It was rainy out. And I was so scared because I thought I had broke the cookie jar. I thought I
had done
something
wrong.
Mm-hmm. We needed this babysitter, and mm-hmm. you know, I didn't want to mess that up. And I was seven. All these thoughts are going through my head and everything. Mm-hmm. That's almost any kid in that situation.
Yes.
I'm not sharing this stuff because I'm comfortable with it, to be honest with everybody, but mm-hmm. I think that this is the point of the month. This is what we're doing mm-hmm. here. And that is just one version of that story.
Yeah.
So imagine every child out there, you know, it is going to have something happen in life where they mess up or they break something or something like that. That's part of being a kid. Mm-hmm. I think we can all be better about that and have a little more grace with kids just in general.
Yes.
You know, but especially when it comes to this topic, because more times than not, I mean, I guarantee you that the majority of friends I had growing up and up until my mid to late 30s didn't know that I had been through something. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of that out there. There's a lot of kids out there that probably don't know or haven't shared what they've been through.
Right.
What we want to do as a society is create a world where they are that much more comfortable with yep. that sharing that information.
Yes.
All the things that Trisha just said are key and very well put and key and important to this conversation. One other factor that I just piggybacking on it, when you're having conversations with friends, with family, with any of these things, being aware of the little ears that are around
mm-hmm.
and how they pick this stuff up. I think that a lot of my fellow men out there will know what it's like to be in a locker room and you're hearing those off-color jokes.
Yep.
And we all know you don't need me to get into details. You know what I'm talking about there.
Yep.
Calling each other out on that. I think it's a big, big part of going forward as a society. Mm-hmm. That's not funny. It's not humor, and it's actually pretty darn lame and very like dinosaur like. Now you have that conversation, you tell those jokes, and you make, it's just a joke. It's nothing big. Well, as somebody who was a kid in that room when those things were going around, mm-hmm. I'd, okay, well, I can't talk to these guys about this. They think this subject's
right.
funny. And as a matter of fact, I don't know if I can talk to anybody in this school about this or any adult about this mm-hmm. And so on, and the domino continues. Mm-hmm. People are listening. People hear these things. It matters what you say around, whether it's closed doors or outside or what have you. It goes so much farther than I think we realize.
Yeah.
And the hesitancy to tell a joke can mean somebody opens up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say it isn't a joke.
Yes, no, and there's nothing funny about it. Again, it's not even funny. It's not even a good joke. It's not even any of that. So being more aware of who's around, who's listening, be more in tune with our own selves in the way we're presenting ourselves and talking. You just don't know who's listening that maybe maybe have been through something mm-hmm. and would have shared with you otherwise.
Right.
And that's a big part of where we're going forward with this, too, because you may think, well, that's a stranger, whatever. What about a loved one? What about right. somebody you care about who might be holding something back or not sharing something because yes. they don't think you're an ally? They don't think that you're somebody that they can open up to. Mm-hmm. It's another big part of this month to me as far as, you know, making it a real point here. I'd like to think that of all the things that could be controversial in this world, caring about kids mm-hmm. has got to be one of those ones where pretty much 100% of everybody out there, we're all good with this one. We all like kids. Yeah. You know, that seems like a pretty fair, safe thing to say. That's what we're talking about here, is making not only a better today for them, but a better tomorrow for them.
Yeah, because children grow up to be adults. Yeah. So you and I were kids that maybe had these things happen to us, but then we grow up. So how we respond to mm-hmm. these children mm-hmm. can determine how they respond in the future.
And, you know, before we know it, you know, maybe we created an even stronger world mm-hmm. because of it, where mm-hmm. it's just common for kids to grow up and be able to share these things mm-hmm. if they happen.
CBS News Brief, A Farewell to Pope Francis. The faithful are lined up inside St. Peter's Basilica after the Pope's coffin was transferred from his Vatican residence today.
We were coming on this trip for the canonization of Carlos Acuti, so our plans have changed, and we feel that it's a God incident that we're here, but... sad.
Dow futures up about 2% amid optimism the U.S. and China might be able to reach a trade deal. CBS's Kelly O'Grady spoke with some investors.
By and large, I heard, okay, this is great. There's some optimism, but there was also skepticism because the negotiations have not started.
A CBS News analysis shows many travelers aren't ready for new real ID rules at airports May 7th. Correspondent Chris Van Cleve.
Across Michigan, DMVs are working overtime. About 1 in 4 people here still need the new ID.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You can always continue.